Hey guys, I want to take a few moments to thank Sneak Tech Sneak Boots for their support of the show. They make it possible for me to keep it free, so please go check them out at sneaktech.com. I use them on all my hunts, and really they've upped my game, taken my stalks to the next level, so check them out. I also want to take the time to thank you, my listeners, for the support that you have given me, and I'd like to give back to those going that extra mile. So once a month, I will be giving away a pair of Sneak Tech boots and two t-shirts to three subscribers of the podcast who have left a comment or feedback on iTunes or Podbean. Thank you. Now let's roll into the next episode. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot and Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we're going to talk about early season or the early archery hunts, might even touch on a little bit of the early rifle hunts too, here in Arizona. We got Junior from Big Chino Outfitters with us on, and we're going to pick his brain a little bit. Also picked up a co-host today, my cousin Anthony from Phoenix Shooting Bags, decided to stop by and join in on the podcast.
What's going on, John? How you guys doing?
Good. So, Junior, why don't you give us a little rundown about yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Junior Vicente. I'm a co-owner of Big Chino Outfitters. My dad started the company in 1987. He's been running and gunning ever since. And, my brother Michael and I grew up around the outfitting industry, outfitting business, hunting, born and raised, obviously. My old man throwing us in his backpack and, going out and pounding some ground with him and, calling bulls and stalking mule deer with us on his back while, he was archery hunting. And, we've just been a part of it ever since. So, my old man's trying to, he's always going to be a part of it, but he's, taking a step back and letting my brother and I kind of move forward with the company at this point. And, nice. So we're, trying out some different stuff and, just trying to keep the name relevant and trying to, just keep hunting and doing what we love, obviously. So.
Nice. So you guys primarily hunt like what? Central? Central?
Yeah. Yeah. Central to Northern Arizona. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you heard on my intro, like I kind of want to touch base since we're coming up hot on the early season hunts here, early archery hunts. I'm going to try to gear the questions towards that. And hopefully you can, help direct us with some of the stuff. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about hunting that time of year. Obviously it's hot as shit.
Yep.
We have OTC hunts, but there's also a couple of draw hunts as well for that archery season in early.
Yeah.
Do you guys guide for any of those or?
Yeah. We do some of the Kaibab stuff. We're not too heavy in the strip, obviously in the early season. But we'll go up there for the rifle hunt and stuff, but the early stuff, as far as draw, we'll definitely be in the Kaibab. Like you said, it's definitely hot that time of year. Hunting's a lot different than it is in the late season. You're trying to find them in those cooler, transition zones of where they're going to be hanging out from their summertime to where they're going to obviously start rubbing and rutting a little bit and moving to those zones. But you got to find them in cooler weather, but sometimes there's just places where they aren't in cooler weather. It's hot. So if your water is crucial. Water mm-hmm. and food are crucial, So we spend a lot of time hanging trail cameras and spending a lot of time, checking on, we're putting out salt licks and stuff like that. And, that time of year they're growing. So they're looking for that little extra mineral and stuff. So, but it's primarily where is the best food and where's the best water for that time of year. So wherever the monsoons are hitting the heaviest, that's where they're going to be. That's where we find them. That's where we hunt them. They're not going to be spending time in that dry land because they just can't survive very well, and they can't thrive very well in those zones. So water is always crucial that time of year for us. So.
Right. So are you basically just kind of keeping tabs on the weather patterns and seeing where you get green up and
So we're so in our preseason scouting, obviously, we're just looking for as many zones of how or, in the units, all the spots that have gotten hit the hardest by the monsoons, or had the best, spring, showers and the best, winter time, obviously, winter weather. But so we're looking for the best feed and the best water, and that's where we're going to focus our main amount of time. Those bigger bucks, they're going to be bachelor herded up, but those super big bucks, a lot of them are going to either be with one other big buck or by themselves. And they're going to be close to water, but they tend to typically, in at least in our neck of the woods, the really big bucks are going to be by themselves or with at least another bigger buck. And they're not too concerned. They've been around the block a little bit, so they're not too concerned with the amount of feed. They're just more concerned with the amount of water and the access and ease of getting to water for them. But so they'll and how mule deer are. They'll travel. They're animals. Their range is crazy. They'll go 10 miles for water. It's nothing to them. So they have a wide range for sure. So.
Now, Junior, are you glassing up these bucks when you find them, or are you just mainly using trail cameras and finding them on water sources or their patterns?
So our preseason scouting, obviously, we're going to be using trail cameras to find what areas we need to be focusing our attention. We're going to, obviously be paying attention to what bucks are hitting what water and kind of making a little hit list in the little area of where we're going to be wanting to hunt. But after that, unless we have, a regular, a buck that's regularly patterned to a certain specific water that we feel comfortable hunting or putting a client on, that we know it gives them a good opportunity. They can be so sporadic even that time of year. But especially when the monsoons they're hit, they're not gonna, there's water, standing water everywhere, so they're not gonna specifically hit one tank when those monsoons hit. So after we do our scouting with the trail cameras, it's all glassing and ground and pound, or pound and ground, and just spending time between the behind that big glass on top of the biggest hills and stuff that we can find that are surrounding those areas that we know that the biggest bucks are in that we want to kill. So it's all glassing for us.
Your clients, are they doing spot and stalk, or are you doing more, you send them on water holes?
So majority of it's going to be spot and stalk. 90% of it's going to be spot and stalk. Like I said, unless we can for sure get a buck, that's coming to a certain area or a certain water, or like a mineral lick or a salt lick, that they're coming to regularly. They're so sporadic, especially that time of year. They can really be anywhere, and especially where the water is, so it's tough. So a lot of it's just spot and stalking, and we have a lot of success with the spot and stalk that time of year. They're so docile. They haven't been hunted in a while. They're, low pressure. They don't have a lot of care and a lot of worries at that point, because they forgot a little bit about the pressure from last season. So.
You kind of answered it a little bit, but I was going to ask you, well, two different questions actually. Do you notice the like a certain frequency of bucks hitting water? Does it tend to get more and more sporadic, like you said, as the monsoons come, or is it like that all the time?
I'll give you an example. Like we typically, we'll hunt bucks, and I know we're talking about late season here, but we hunt, bucks off of water in the, or we're talking about early season, but I know we're talking, or excuse me, we hunt bucks in the late season that, we're usually typically all spot and stock, but last year it was so hot in the late season that we were shooting bucks left and right off of water.
Yeah, last
And
year was
so,
perfect storm.
yeah,
Because we got
last
those
year was,
early rains, filled up all the tanks, and then it shut down. We didn't have any rain during the actual season. Yeah.
and then and it
That
shut
was a
down.
perfect.
So yeah, so when the mon you know when they're when the early part of the summer when they start growing, they'll start hitting specific waters, and they'll always stay around the they're in whatever area they're summering in, and that's where they're hanging and doing their growing and hanging out and doing their whole preseason deal. They're in one spot, in a range, a 10-mile range, but that's when the monsoons hit, there's so much standing water, and it just depends, it just depends on how the water is in their certain area. So it's sporadic. It's definitely more sporadic when the monsoons hit,
When they have
because
more
yeah
choices to get
when
water at.
yeah they have more choices. So but if it's not a great monsoon, and it's just a couple showers, here or there, or just how the monsoons are, they're so spotty. So it can be sporadic, but we've killed some good bucks off of water in the early season as well, in some of those more drier areas. But it's just throughout the season, typically, like I said, we killed a bunch of bucks last year in the late season off of water, including a buck that he ended up breaking. He scored 210, but he would have been 220 if he didn't break that
Wow.
right top G2 off. But
Right.
we shot him off the water, and so typically, like that time of year, we don't kill any bucks off the water because it's cold, it's snowy, it's rainy, it's not, and like you said, last year it's just a perfect storm for us. But
Yeah.
early season, it can be sporadic for sure.
Yeah, it was both seasons last year. The early season, the rain shut up right before the season started. So it lent itself perfect to hunting water. And again in December, that we didn't get those rains that we usually get in December, and everything was dry. It was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was
But yeah,
perfect.
last year was a perfect year to sit water for sure. And of course, I wasn't really around much for those that early season hunts over here, so I didn't actually get out. How early do you guys get your cameras out? And like, how soon do you see that these bucks that you're watching come into that summer range that they're growing in?
For us, we like to have our cameras out in the beginning of June. And it just because we when you hang so many and you got so many going in different units and different places, for us, it's just a lot of time, it's a lot of effort. So when you're hanging that many cameras, you got to get out there early. You can't be doing it last minute, so but we're watching two bucks right now that survived the season last year, and they're the last pictures that we got of them before my camera died was in the end of March, and I hadn't got back out to that spot to change it and to change the batteries. And then we put them back. I got batteries back in it in June, and by the third week of June, they were the same two bucks were already back. I mean, what we think was them. They had similar frames. They're still got a lot of
Right, they're
growing
still
to do,
growing, yeah.
but they, they had similar frames, and they were both together, and it just, it definitely seemed like it looks like it's both the same ones. And so hoping that those are the same ones, and we can keep patterning them to that certain water, so we can hopefully get an arrow in at least one of them this early season with some of our clients that we got. So
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel, and I'm in. You tell me if you notice the same thing. I feel like the mule deer here pretty much spend the whole year from like late March, early April, all the way to like end of November, beginning of December, in the same area, and then once the rut hits, deer just freaking, they just migrate over to where their hot bills are at, you know?
Yeah, we've been trying to kill this buck for a while now. We have a lot of history with him. He's super deep forked, heavy, tall buck, not really wide. We call him Choco because his horns are super dark like chocolate. And but we have pictures of him in the early season. And he's close to 25 miles away from where we hunt him in the late season with our guys. So that just gives you an idea of the range that, that they're moving. And in some places like the Strip and the Kaibab, I mean, the ranges for them are even deeper than that, 40, 50 miles for some of these older, bigger bucks. They just get in, they find spots and find does and find pockets of does and hangouts that they like to, that's just like where they like to rut, and obviously a lot of it depends on food and feed for them too. But if you see a buck rutting in a certain spot, chances are that he's gonna, if he doesn't die, he's gonna be right back there
Next
again
rut.
that next rut,
Yeah.
But it's hard to find them in the early season. If you're finding them in the rut, you can't go. I'm not saying you can't, but you typically can't go to that, that same spot and find them in the early season because they don't usually hang out in the same spots. So.
Yeah, no, I have the same experience. There's a couple, like there's an area that I hunt, that I have been hunting for almost 20 years now, that I could set my clock. You'll go in there, see tons of does, but you'll never, there's a couple of resident bucks, a couple good ones too, but not nearly what. And then the rut comes in. I mean, they come from like every different direction. It's like a, it's, they come out of the woodwork. They travel from miles and miles away, and those deer don't live anywhere near there. Yeah. So if you find them, I feel like if you found them in the early season, you have a much larger window
Oh
to put
yeah,
a move on
absolutely.
them, because you have
Yeah,
several
absolutely.
seasons, because that's where they're hanging.
Yeah, and the other than the Kaibab and the Strip, the all these other over-the-counter are units that are open, they get pounded in the general season for rifle. So their chances of survival, are the bigger bucks, they survive because they're smart and they know what to do and they know where to go when they start getting pressure. But some of these, mid-level bucks, they're just going to get pounded, especially that first part, in those youth hunts and those first part of the general season, because they haven't been hunted yet. They don't know what's going on and they'll get pounded pretty hard. But so other than like the Kaibab or the Strip, where they don't, I mean, I know there's a lot of archery hunters in the Kaibab, but it's still archery hunting. So but they just those two spots, they're not getting a lot of pressure all year round, especially in that general season, like a lot of these over-the-counter units are. So those bigger bucks, we don't know how they do it or where they go. We try and keep tabs on them from that mid-September to the first part of December, and just try and figure out where they go and whatever general season rifle hunters we get. We put good bucks down every year, but it's hard to find those same bucks from that you were those giant bucks that you were hunting in August, that and then that you're hunting in December and January again. It's hard to find them from September, September, late September to early December, because they vanish because they know what's coming. So
Are they leaving the area, or are they just seeking out thicker cover within the same area?
it's a little bit of both. Especially if you hunt anywhere where there's, on the borders of any or any private land, they're gonna go, because they know that there's low pressure in those areas. But they're gonna be in some thick, nasty country for sure. you know, getting away from those rifle hunters, because, you know, the pressure's on. I mean, some of these units, I mean, there's 750 tags in some of the, you know, some of these units, and that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of shooting. That's a lot of bucks hitting the deck, you know. So, you know, you, in the early part of the general hunt, you know, you'll catch bucks that are still hanging around their area that you were hunting them in August and September. But, you know, they, once the shooting starts and the pressure starts, they head for the hills, and they're in some thick, nasty country for sure. You know, they'll be relatively close, you know, within 10 miles, but, you know, they're going to be in some nasty country, you know, trying to survive. So.
Cool.
Going back to early season, for a novice hunter, like a rookie bow hunter and whatnot, what do you, would you say is their best bet of harvesting a buck with their bow? Is it just sitting water or glassing one up and stalking it? And if they are going to stalk it, what do you find with your clients that their best, what's the best approach that they to take on that?
Yeah, and if you're a novice hunter, you know, it's just, it's your best bet is going to be trying to pattern a buck to water, especially if you don't have help. Eyes on hills and behind glass, or that's, you know, that's how we kill them. And, you know, having as many sets of eyes out there always glassing, and it always helps when you're spotting and stalking and you have 3-4 sets of eyes watching different angles, watching what the buck's doing, you know, if he's got other bucks with him, watching what they're doing. So, you know, if, you know, as a novice hunter, you know, probably trying to pattern a buck to a certain spot, a certain, you know, salt lick or a certain water, or, you know, just a certain spot that he, you know, he likes to hang out in, or a certain group of bucks that, you know, they're just, that's just their area and they like to be in, you know. It's, but like you said, it's give and take with the monsoons as well. So, you know, if you can have some help, you know, I'm not saying you can't solo a spot and stalk mule deer, but it's definitely tough. They're one of the hardest animals in North America to kill with your bow, and they're smart, smart animals. And, you know, you need as many sets of eyes in the sky that you can to help you be successful. So, you know, getting behind glass and finding, you know, the bucks that you want to go after, and, you know, having, you know, if you can have anybody out there helping you, especially when you're spotting and stalking, just to let you know, or just, you know, tell you what's going on. It definitely makes
it's huge.
It's a huge, huge difference, you know, extremely huge. So, you can be successful both ways, but, you know, if you're solo, it's, you're definitely going to have a little more success doing a, you know, sitting on water or a certain spot. But, you know, if you have a little bit of help, or if you're good behind the glass and, you know, you can definitely be successful either way. So
walk me through a stalk. You guys find a stalk for, or find a buck for your, one of your clients, and you're going to talk them in. What are some of the things you're looking at? What, you know, what are you waiting for? Do you like them on their feet? Do you like them bedded? Do you like, you know, run me through that.
Well, in the early season, they're going to, when they bed, they're going to bed all day, and they're going to stay in that same spot. You know, so when we glass them, you know, we'll be glassing them early in the morning when they're up feeding. And then when they lay down, they're going to stay there all day to stay in the shade, especially if it's hot and there's no cloud cover. You know, they'll get up if the monsoons roll in, but they'll get up and feed a little bit. But whenever the sun starts to hit them, they'll just move and find, you know, shade around the same tree that they're on, or move to a different tree around, you know, somewhere around where they're at. But they're going to be in the shade all day. So, you know, for us, if we can be in position to cut them off before, you know, when they're on their way to their bed, you know, that's a good position to be in. But there's a short window by the time you find them and by the time they're going to go to bed. So you have to, you know, you have to know the buck's pattern and know, you know, a general area of where he likes to bed, and, you know, a direction of what they're going to do, you know, or where he's going to head. But, you know, wind is obviously always crucial.
Of course,
for hunting mule deer. You know, their sense of smell is one of their biggest defenses. So, you know, wind is always crucial. And, you know, we have a lot of success, especially during the monsoon season, is, you know, right before the monsoons blow in, you know, you get that big, those big gusts of wind, and, you know, and it quiets things down a lot,
Right.
for the person that's stalking, you know, because they can't hear you coming. And so when you get the when you get those really windy days, or when a wind, you know, when the wind is blowing those monsoons in, that's a great time to kill them. You know, because you can sneak a lot more stealthy, and you can be a lot more quiet. And
Yeah.
you know, so we like them to be bed down, you know, comfortable. We like them to get up. We like them to at least maneuver themselves one more time and really settle in for the day. Because, you know, they'll, you know how the mule deer are, you know, they'll get up, they'll lay down, and then they'll get up and mess around for a little bit, and then they'll go really find the spot that they want to lay down in.
Right.
And you know, that second bedding spot is really the crucial one for you to, you know, actually have a significant amount of time to spend stalking them without worrying that they're going to get up and start moving. You know, always checking your wind. That's always crucial. You know, that's, you know, that's it, as it is with any animal. So
Yeah, of course.
wind is the biggest thing that you have to be watching, just checking your wind every 5 minutes, you know. And I don't know, you know, the certain parts of Arizona is different, but I know where we hunt, the wind swirls like crazy. You know, it's never out of the same direction. So
Yeah.
especially when you're hunting around drainages and some canyons and you know, some of those bigger hills, you know, it'll blow down, it'll blow up. It's sporadic. So you gotta definitely be watching your wind at all times.
Yeah, the one thing we got going for us that time of year is got some crazy up thermals
Oh yeah,
because of the heat.
absolutely. Yep,
It's so
absolutely.
crazy. You'll hit a puff and your wind's going like this, and they'll take a hard like swoop straight up. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's a
so but yeah, like I said, killing them in their bed, that's when we want to do it. That's, you know, that's when they're you know,
And
they don't feel a lot of pressure at that time.
right.
And you know, they're chilling out, catching some Z's, and you know, so and you know, we have a lot of success killing them, like I said, on the when they're headed to their bed, you know, when you can cut them off, and you know, they're just kind of feeding and milling around until they really find the spot that they want to be in. But like I said, it's a very short window that you can, you know, from finding them early in the morning to where they're gonna bed. So
That's how I like to kill them. That's
yeah.
always been my
Yep,
spot in ambush.
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially in that, and we do that in the late season. Once they bed down with all their does, it's next to impossible
Yeah.
to you know, especially some of these bucks will hunt have 20 does, you know, so
Crazy.
it's definitely hard. So catching them and cutting them off before they get to where they're going to be is it we have a lot of success for sure. So
Awesome. If you got time, would you share with us a story, an early season archery story?
yeah, last year one of my clients, he's a long time client of ours, he's been hunting archery mule deer, over the counter archery mule deer with us for I think this is going to be his 12th year. His name's Sean Connolly. One of the greatest stalkers and archers that I've been able to guide, and he's taught me so much about archery hunting and stalking, like just the way he is when he's stalking, and how methodical he is with his movements, and how he calculates his movements and what he does in his stalks. And I love guiding him because I learned so much from him, and his patience. And you know, so last year, we ended up killing one of the bigger bucks that I've personally guided on the over the counter hunt. You know, we watched him from early July. We saw him, and we just knew he was going to be a good buck, the way he laid out and the way he was growing. And Sean came into camp for the first part of the over the counter archery season. You know, I'd been keeping tabs on this buck for 2 months, and just watching his every movement. And I just knew where he liked to hang out. I knew where he liked to bed. And Sean came in, and he got 60 yards from him the first day, the first afternoon, and ran out of cover, and the buck ended up seeing him and split out of there, and we weren't able to get on him that night. But about 2 days later, I relocated him, and we were able to get Sean in 20 yards, and it was perfect. Like I was talking about, it was hot that day when we were stalking him. It was super hot, no clouds, no nothing, no wind. It was just one of those days that was just going to be tough to stalk. And we got Sean at about 100 and just kind of staged. This buck was, he was bed down for the long haul, and we just kind of staged him, and I could see the monsoon starting to build. So, and this was later in the day, it was about 3-4 in the afternoon now. And those winds picked up, and that gust of wind came in, and it blew those monsoons in, and you know, that real heavy wind came in, and we were in a perfect position, and it couldn't have been a more perfect timing for those monsoons to roll in. And, you know, Sean was able to sneak. I think he ended up getting 28 yards from him, and the buck was bedded, and Sean whistled at the first time he stalked him. This is my favorite part of the story, but the first time he stalked him, Sean whistled at him to get him to stand up, and the buck took off when he whistled. So he drew his bow back, and he, as soon as he whistled, because he knew what that buck was going to do, he just timed it right because he'd done it already to him. He whistled at him, and his bow was already drawn back. And as soon as he whistled, that buck did exactly what he did the first time, and he stood up and ran. But Sean was already drawn, and as soon as he whistled, he let that arrow go, and just pounded him. That buck ran 25 yards and keeled over. And nice. I hadn't seen a blood trail like that in a long time. But you know, it's little things like that. You know, just repetition. You know, Sean's hunted a lot with us, and he's killed some great bucks with us, but he's, for being how seasoned and how successful he is as an archery hunter, he has had a lot of failed stalks and a lot of failed shots and a lot of failed hunts. And you know, you learn so much more from those failed stalks and failed attempts when you're hunting archery mule deer, that you know, it only makes you a better archery hunter all the way around. You learn what not to do and what you could have done different. And a lot of times it's hard to swallow because it's, you know, a giant buck that you've really been after for a long time, but you learn so much from those. And, you know, and like I said, Sean is one of the most seasoned spot and stalk guys that I've had the, you know, fortunate ability to guide and watch and learn from, and you know, he's a testament to how methodical and how you know, calculated you have to be when you're stalking mule deer, you know, and what you can get away with and what you can, and all that comes from repetition and opportunity that, you know, you put yourself in those opportunities, and that's spending time in the field and behind glass and, you know, watching other people and learning. And you know, it's all just a learning experience, even for the most seasoned veterans that
absolutely
killed, you know, multiple animals with their bow, especially mule deer or coos deer or something. You know, it's definitely a learning experience every single time. I don't care who you are. So
yeah, I feel like if I start going out there and I'm like, I'm not learning something, I'm probably not going to want to do it anymore.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
If you walk out there and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this, 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 and that, and it's going to work out, and you just know it's going to, and it does that every time. I mean, it's going to kind of lose some of the luster.
Yeah. It definitely takes the fun out of it for sure. But they do crazy stuff. You know, it's sometimes it's not even you, you know, they'll just get up and walk away or get up.
Oh, I can't
run,
tell you how many times. No reason at all. You know,
Wind's perfect, everything's perfect, and they just get up. You know, they're wild animals, so they can do whatever they want. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, sometimes it's just not you.
Yeah. Oh, I lost you.
And that, yep, there we go. And, you know, and it's hard to, accept that sometimes, but it's definitely, like I said, it's fun. There's no better feeling than killing anything with your bow, number one, but killing a mule deer, number two. I don't care how big it is, but when you kill a seasoned mule deer, an old buck, there's no better feeling than that, because he's been around the block and you know how smart they are. And as for a guide to see, your client be successful on any mule deer, but especially a big one that has evaded you for a long time and evaded an arrow and a bullet for a long time, there's no better feeling, in my opinion, than killing a big mule deer with your bow. They're just it's hard to match.
It is. So, where can our listeners find out more about you guys?
Yeah, so we're on Instagram, Facebook, Big Chino Outfitters. Look us up. We're pretty active and on social media. This year we got a pretty big project in the works, a big film project that we're getting ready to release out to people. That will be working with some great companies, and we're going to be working with SeaCat Creative out of Bozeman,
Oh, okay.
on a big film project. And we'll be able to give you guys some more details about it. We're going to release it on the 1st of August, but you guys are going to be able to follow along with us all season long. We're going to be producing some pretty epic films this year of hunts that we're going to be guiding, and the hunts that we got lined up with our clients, and some of the more premium stuff that we got lined up. And we got some great companies involved with us. We got Sitka and Yeti and Mountain Ops and Go
Awesome.
Hunt and PhoneScope, so it's going to be cool. So definitely give people some more updates on that. So hope to get people excited about that, and hopefully learn some stuff of how we do, and what we do to be successful. And people can kind of see who we are as a company, and see us as, see us guys, and who we are. We're just a bunch of goofballs, out
Nice.
there
Yeah,
having
if you're not
fun.
having
So
fun, man. What's the
yeah, but
point?
yeah, so yeah, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, we're on there, Big Chino Outfitters. So look us up, and if anybody ever wants to hunt over-the-counter archery mule deer, we're the guys to call. We've been doing it for a long time. Have a lot of success. We got a lot of really cool clients dialed in this year. We're definitely excited. We got a I can't tell you yet who's coming to hunt with us January 1st, but I can tell you guys that it's gonna be some pretty big name guys that everybody knows, that you guys are gonna be pretty excited for. So that's gonna be one of the films, it's going to be pretty epic for sure. So I'll give you guys some
Sweet.
more updates on what that's going to entail. But we got some really cool clients lined up this year. We're excited to get rolling, man. It's been a long off season for sure. A lot of work and a lot of things going on. So
That's awesome, man. Well, glad to hear you guys are doing well. Say what's up to JP for me.
I
And
will.
we'll catch up soon. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the boys over at Triple Threat Performance and I are going to be putting on a hunt fit session on August 4th at 8 a.m. at the Triple Threat Performance facility in Scottsdale. 8 a.m., August 4th. The class size is going to be limited, so if you want in on it, you need to RSVP me. Either hit me up on my Instagram or Facebook, or go to the blog johnstallone.me and send me an email. There'll also be some information on the class on my blog. So if you go to johnstallone.me, just search it, you'll find it. It's going to be a good class. Going to do a lot of cool stuff, help you learn some new movements, possibly take a look at the way you're doing things now. And who knows, it might be a program you want to get into and you'll be working out alongside me. So we'd love to see you there. So please RSVP, tell a friend, Triple Threat Performance, August 4th, 8 a.m. Thank you.